Wisconsin. Morning world, it's a new day. Sometimes. Get it going. Time to start the show. Welcome to the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, joined by one of our head producers around these parts. Our head producer here at WFHR, that's for darn sure. I'm used to doing the number two. Sorry there. Laura's with us.
Hi.
Laura.
Yes, I am the head of production at WFHR.
We welcome the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for being here, everybody. We're going to have some fun this morning. We got coming up some tipping questions. We're going to get into how we feel about tipping. That is coming up in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tying into that, how many of us have worked in retail?
Yeah.
We're going to get those two conversations going together. We've also got coming up a little bit later, Hershey's winning a lawsuit that is kind of interesting. We got to get into that. Mm-hmm. 10 o'clock hour, we're going to kick off with our good friend Denise in the Pet of the Week with the Southland County Humane Society.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. A little bit of entertainment news for you in there. Going to talk some Dolly Parton. Going to talk a little bit of TV news and let you know what is coming up for you in your email box a little bit later today. WFHR newsletter. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, that.
We're also going to get into a nutritionist telling you what you should order from McDonald's.
Okay, listen, I'm going to McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean,
anyway, we'll get there.
That should be interesting. But we kick things off, Laura, with this place. And we're going to get into this this topic a bit as we go along throughout October. It is spooky season.
It is indeed.
We get into haunted topics and subjects. Next week, you and I got a good one for us about the most haunted states or the states that see the most ghosts.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We'll be getting into that next.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with that one, you and I, next week. Mm-hmm. But for now, if you had an old haunted hotel and you needed a brave soul to investigate, who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Well, that's what I tried, but it turns out they're not in business anymore.
Oh.
You get a busy signal.
Wow.
It doesn't work anymore. So I thought,
and that didn't even make the news.
I'm surprised by that. The oldest and possibly most haunted hotel in Las Vegas, the El Cortez Hotel and Casino, is offering to pay someone $5,000 to spend a weekend ghost hunting inside. And it kind of sounds kind of cool to me.
It sounds really cool to me, and I feel like there's definitely a podcaster that's going to take him up on this, right?
A good friend of mine, Vince, and his wife, Jessica, they go around throughout Illinois doing this. Mm-hmm. And I've been tempted to go with them before. I've thought about doing something like this. Mm-hmm. And I don't consider myself a skeptic. I'm more just very on the fence on these things. So I think I might be a good person to do something like this. And I don't know. There's something about it. Like, I kind of want to put myself in situations to run into this because I haven't, and I feel like I'm missing something almost. But would you do something?
100%.
This is part of the reason I brought it up.
100%. I would definitely do that, but I would definitely like to do it with someone who has experience because I have not actually truly gone ghost hunting proper. If that is going to be a career field, I cannot say that I have done it, right?
Is that an EKG machine or whatever you got to have?
There's a thousand things they have with bells and whistles and all kinds of sirens and stuff. Things that flash. I don't know. They have lots of things.
KMF. No, that was a band.
I don't know. No,
you walk around with KMF and it's going to be really loud and they play house music. So.
No, you're thinking KMFDM.
Yes. Now, that's another band. That's a whole different band.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
KDM had a hit in the 90s. They were another band. But yes, KDM, that is another band. The whole
so many thing. Letters. So yes, many. I would go ghost hunting in Las Vegas if I had a friend who knew how to ghost hunt that wanted to go with me.
Maybe this might help.
I'll call Quinn's uncle.
Maybe this might help a little bit. They'll equip you with ghost hunting gear and EMF meters, EVP recorders, and flashlights and thermal sensors. Then you'll set you free to explore the eeriest corners, searching for signs of ghostly activity, especially at night. Quote unquote, especially at night.
Well, yeah, of course.
You're supposed to document your experience with photos and short videos. Keep a journal of what you encounter, which can include scary, mysterious, or even funny moments.
I'm telling you, a podcaster is going to scoop this up.
If you're interested, you can fill out an application at casino.org.
okay, it is Las Vegas. It's Las Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I can't believe that website was open. Like, how did they get casino.org?
I bet Las Vegas had that bad boy in stock in like 1982 before the internet was born.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's almost wilder than the story itself.
I love that. That's awesome.
They're accepting volunteers all month. Now, I did read a little bit just currently while you're talking there, and I don't know if they'll take podcasters. I don't know if they'll take individuals like that. They may be looking for more, just as they say, volunteers. They're kind of looking for something like that.
Well, there are genuine, like, they're saying they're not going to pay them to do it. Like, this is not a thing like that. But I think that if a podcaster, like a genuine, because there are a lot of like genuine ghost hunters that have podcasts. That's what I mean by a podcaster. I don't mean just some influencer.
I know what you meant.
Someone who does have experience doing these things, would be interested in doing this, would already be documenting it, you know?
That's why I think it looks like they're looking for somebody without experience.
Oh, well, it seems like. That makes a difference.
They'll announce one winner 5 days later, and that's when you'll start planning your trip, which will need to happen within the next month.
Oh.
The $5,000 prize includes $800 towards airfare and travel and $500 to cover food, drinks, and ghost hunting equipment.
I'm going to look up how much a ticket costs to Las Vegas.
I mean, this seems really like this would be great. If you won this, oh, man, the content we could create out of something like that.
Listen, oh, thank you, Google Machine, for spying on me. That was the first thing that popped up. All I typed was airfare.
Ooh, wow.
To Las Vegas.
I really don't like that. I'm really uncomfortable with that.
I didn't love it.
I don't know about that.
That's about $200 for one person. And that's without, you know, luggage or whatever.
Yeah. That's not so bad.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. I would do this in a heartbeat, though. I also think, I think it'd be interesting, too, if they do this and there's not really anything that happens. I think that you can make material out of this.
Yeah, that's the thing about ghost hunting is... It, no matter how haunted the place is, you can't guarantee you're going to see anything that night. Everything's at a whim. Like, if the ghosts are real, they have whims of their own, you know? That's just what it is.
When you look for the best ghost hunting states to go ghost hunting in, Texas, California, New Jersey, and Nevada are the top locations.
Sure.
So Nevada, you got Las Vegas right there.
Yeah, Nevada's right there. Well, I mean, I guess the West would have a lot going on. That said, I also really, I mean, a dark horse, I guess, that's not in there, it'd be Nashville.
I didn't see you go, okay, I thought you were going a different route. Yeah,
Nashville is an incredibly spiritually active place, from my understanding, and I have family there, friends there that I know well and have had lots of experiences in the area, and it's just a really beautiful place.
Yeah, it is.
I'm a big fan.
It's top three places I want to go. Tennessee.
It's beautiful.
It's one of those top places. That's a really good point by there. I would have thought much more out east, where it's parts of our
DC.
Country and stuff and everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, but also all of our country is old. It's been inhabited for a long time.
Oh, certainly.
There
were people here long before there were pilgrims here.
And I'm just thinking about the type of traumatic things that happened out west during westward expansion, and that's kind of what I was thinking of.
Popular destinations for ghost hunting and tours include Savannah, Georgia, St. Augustine, Florida, Louisville, Kentucky, the Waverly Hill Sanatorium in Philadelphia, and home to Eastern State Penitentiary and Williamsburg, Virginia.
Yeah, shout out Philly on that one.
Philly is going to probably have some stuff. I'm curious if anybody out there is listening, is into this, has done this, or has ever thought about ghost hunting or anything like that.
We want to hear your stories. That'd be cool as heck.
And I would love to really hear from ghosts. I'd like to hear from ghosts how they feel about this.
James.
I just want to know their side of it.
Our microphones don't work.
It's what we do around here. We cover both sides. We are bipartisan. So let's hear from both sides. Thank you. Thank you for being a good teammate and just try to...
Anytime.
Thank you for putting up with me, actually. I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know what when it comes to the most haunted places in America, those I gave you your list there of those, I'm curious if in Wisconsin, if there's anything in particular or anybody out there has heard stories. I know that the Pfister... Oh, yeah. But the Pfister in Milwaukee is one of the places I've heard the most, to the point where, like, there's a lot of, like, especially in the NBA, you find this. You'll hear of an NBA player... that demands to stay there because mm-hmm. of this. Like, hey, you got a game to play. Oh, I'm ghost hunting.
Right.
But then you have even more, especially like baseball players and everything that are very superstitious, and they will not mm-hmm. stay in that hotel.
I've stayed at a haunted lighthouse. The lighthouse I stayed at as a kid, because my dad was in the military. We were able to rent a lighthouse that had a house attached to it for family vacations through the U.S. Coast Guard. And there's a very well-known ghost named Millie that lives out at Sherwood Point Lighthouse in Sturgeon Bay. Shout out. I love Millie. I love the lighthouse, and I love Sturgeon Bay. I've never had any experiences with her, but I've stayed there a lot.
Interesting. Really yeah. interesting. I wouldn't guess lighthouses.
But absolutely lighthouses.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and there's a tragic story with Millie, you know. Mm-hmm, it's, you mm-hmm. know, there's that's usually how ghosts happen.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's a very interesting topic to me. I don't know. I know my Nada would be in heaven hearing about these things and stuff. She would just be loving
it. It's just a really fascinating thing to think about. You know, it's the great beyond, right?
Oh, she would have loved that joke. Oh, that she'd be in heaven. Well, she is right now. Experience the magic of Willie Nelson with Willie and Family Live. Seth and I were talking about this on the Sunrise Show over on our sister station, 105.5. Of course, tonight, you've got this great concert going on. Well, it was actually on this day in history that Willie Nelson broke a record with Always On My Mind. Mm-hmm. So how fitting to have Michael Moore come to town with the Willie Nelson tribute experience. This is a true immersive experience, too. It delves into the life and stories behind the Redheaded Stranger's songs. I say dress up for this one. Grab your cowboy boots, put a good hat on. Mm-hmm. And get on down there and have some fun at the Performing Arts Center tonight. It's going to be a really good show.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it tonight. I know Seth is going, right?
Yeah, Seth's
going. Yeah, you can meet Seth Habegger yourself. Shake his hand.
Yes.
Tell him he's a good guy. Yes. He is a good guy.
He is. Tickets are selling fast, so make sure to get them. You can give them a call at 715-424-2787, or you can stop on by 1040 A Street South, Suite 101, right here in Rapids. They're open Monday through Thursday, 10 to 2:30, and you can get them right online at SavorTheArts.com, SavorTheArts.com. We know we have a handful of listeners that are going to be going, because we mm-hmm. got to give away some tickets
for
this.
Yeah, we've given away how many? Four? Six?
Yeah,
something like that?
Them, yeah. A big thank you to Sally for that. We wouldn't
absolutely
have been able to otherwise.
And congratulations to the winners. Enjoy your show.
Yeah. Shout out to Eric and our friends at the Performing Arts Center as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a good one. Go to SavorTheArts.com. Buy local, support the arts, everybody, and have a good time. We do ask, if you go to the show and you feel like it, let us know how it went Friday.
Absolutely.
Love to hear that. Love to hear how it went. Otherwise, Laura and I will be back with more show coming up with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club here at WFHR. It's time for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you and talk about our great friends over at El Cafe. Treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff over there today, everybody. They're wishing everyone a happy Thursday. I encourage you to go over to their Facebook page, keep up to date on the things they're doing, and of course, check out their specials and all those great pies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Big thank you to our friends at El Cafe. Buy local, support local, everybody. Get on over there today.
Yeah.
And get us those birthdays and anniversaries so we can celebrate with you. Info@WFHR.com is where you can email us. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
715-424-1300. Well, 2600. 1300 is Pam.
Either one. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I always give Pam's number during my voice tracking on the other station, so hers is the number that comes to my head first.
It works.
I'll work it out. I'm sorry, everyone.
We're covering all bases here. That's all.
I'll get better.
Encourage you to use any of those numbers. Just get on the air with us here and bring us. We love those live birthdays and anniversaries.
But the easiest way is through the Civic Media app.
You got to do so. Get it on. If you don't have it, have that downloaded, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, I need you to do a little work this morning. You've been working all morning, let's be honest. But I did a one or a two.
Two.
Okay. Gives us that qualifier. Boom, boom, boom. Get right into it. And first up, we want to wish Pam's cousin and wife, Denny and Michelle Eskert, a happy 49th anniversary.
Oh, okay. Happy anniversary.
They both grew up right here in Rapids. They reside now in Cape Coral, Florida.
Oh, cool. So is that Denny and Michelle?
Yeah. Denny and Michelle, we wish you a happy 49th anniversary.
Yeah. Happy anniversary, Denny and Michelle.
49. That's beautiful. That's awesome.
That is beautiful.
And I've heard Cape Coral is beautiful. I heard it's a nice area over there. First up in our local list here, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Mr. Walt Morris.
Oh, happy birthday, Walt.
Walt, we hope you enjoy your day. Have a great one. Thanks so much for getting us that birthday. And our qualifier today, Kathy Cronstadt.
Happy birthday, Kathy. Congratulations.
Kathy, enjoy your day. Wishing you a great one. We always appreciate being able to celebrate all these birthdays. And Kathy, we're wishing you a very special one. Enjoy your day. We encourage you to brag to all your friends, family, strangers that you're our qualifier today. Let them all know. Animals especially.
Woo!
You deserve it, Kathy.
We're real big in the house cat crowd.
Big time. Big time.
Mm-hmm.
We look at our celebrity list. Who do you share your birthdays and anniversaries with? Country singer Megan Maroney is 28 today.
Oh, cool.
Tennessee Orange, probably her more famous song. And she shares her birthday along with a couple of other country stars. Scotty McCreery is 32 today.
Oh.
Got his star after winning the 10th season of American Idol. I didn't know that.
That is what he did. I knew that.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that. Oh.
Yeah, his was one of the seasons I actually tuned into the finale for.
Okay.
Every once in a while I did that. I also watched the one with Adam Lambert in it.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Tyler James Williams is 33. Gregory Eddy on Abbott Elementary. Noah on The Walking Dead. He was he was the star of Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for him that he got this role in Abbott Elementary.
Too.
It's great to see him. Yeah, and he has turned into such a strong, fine actor. Mm-hmm. He's good. Mm-hmm. Him and Quintina are perfect.
They're great.
Great chemistry together. Mm-hmm. Great chemistry. Let's see here. Nick Swardson is 49.
Oh, good.
A lot of Adam Sandler movies
he's been in.
And
he's the blonde.
Yes, and one of his guys, of Sandler's guys, great stand-up comedian. I think many of us might think of him
not David Spade blonde.
Yes. And thinking of him with Reno 911. Terry,
yes, absolutely.
I think the character was.
The reoccurring character, yeah.
It's not very often.
That's kind of what Nick does. He does reoccurring characters in really good sitcoms.
Most of the main cast members on Reno 911 had worked together for decades as a part of a comedy troupe called The State, mm-hmm. and had great chemistry. Improv artists, they film a lot of stuff during that show live and one take outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
With Nick Swardson, they would have to do multiple takes because they would be laughing too hard and they'd ruin the scene. He's just one of those guys.
He commits. It's lovely.
Sean Lennon is 50 today.
Okay.
John and Yoko's only child, and an incredible producer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great ear for things.
Yeah.
I thought Sean Lennon, like. Sean's great. He's got some really interesting works that he's done and everything.
Did you have high hopes? Is that where we're?
No, I thought that he was gonna. I didn't know that he'd be in the public eye at all.
I thought he was just gonna be a private dude.
Yeah, I thought Julian was gonna be a pop sensation. I thought Julian Lennon was the one you had high hopes for. I thought after I heard Much Too as a little kid and I heard Much Too Late for Goodbyes, you could not convince me. I could not wait to tell my dad this was the next big pop star and all this. And he's a Lennon, and he's your guy, and he's the son of your guy, and all that. And no, it didn't work out that way.
No, it did not.
With Sean Lennon, I didn't think we'd ever even hear from him. But he's got a pretty good social media presence. He
cool.
does a lot of good work out there.
Cool.
I think that he is a part of the reason, not only part, I want to give her 100% credit for this.
Oh, sure.
But I think he is part of the reason that we have kind of come around on Yoko Ono.
Yeah.
And realized,
absolutely.
Oh, wait a minute, maybe we put
we
way,
were a little
way,
too
way,
harsh on Yoko
way
Ono.
Way too harsh on mm-hmm. this lady and everything. And I think her he's done a really nice job without trying to of showing, oh, by the way, Yoko Ono's a human being.
Yeah, but who would fault him for doing that for his mom?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
By the way, I hope he is doing it on purpose for his mom. Good for him.
The combination
and happy birthday, Sean.
Of that, along with getting to understand more and more of the history of the Beatles, and mm-hmm. guess what? Without all four of them, could have remained single, and they still would have broke up.
Yeah,
they were 100%. Always, they were going to do. Yep. It was always going to happen.
Yep.
Happy 50th to him. Brandi Clark is 50 as well. Country singer herself.
Yep.
One of our guys. Steve Burns is 52.
Oh.
Original host of Blues Clues, who mm-hmm. Left the show to do some music and some things.
I
but
love Steve.
Now he's a big supporter of the remakes, and he's been very supportive of all the new hosts.
And he's been
and
like
stuff.
Featured on like the new movies and shows and stuff every once in a while. Yeah, he shows up.
But his presence, in particular during the pandemic, on social media is one of the reasons why I can't dog social media completely.
Because he's doing something really, really cool, and he's been doing it since COVID and never really stopped. Yeah. So every once in a while, Steve Burns, on his social media, usually on a TikTok page, he will just set a camera up in front of himself, start recording, and say, "Hey, it's been a while. How you doing?" And just sit there silently.
Yeah.
And give you time to share.
He's really
great. To vent, to whatever. And it's really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's some. He really is. I wish him nothing but the best.
I'm a big fan. He's a great guy.
And he looks that good at 52.
He looks fantastic at 52.
He's doing something right. PJ Harvey is 56.
Oh, good.
This is Love, Down by the Water. Big PJ Harvey fan. Mm-hmm. I love PJ Harvey. Great singer, songwriter, sneaky good guitar player.
Yeah.
Big. You were a kid in the 90s, man. You probably ended up liking her. One of the greatest directors in the game today. One of the top five I would give anything to work with. Guillermo del Toro is 61 today.
Oh, cool.
Genius writer, director, producer, Shape of Water, Pan's Labyrinth, Blade 2, for God's sake. I'm just a big fan of the
Blade movies.
It's
true, he did do that.
Hellboy movies, he did the original Hellboy movies and everything as well.
Didn't he just do like a Pinocchio? Did he just do Pinocchio and a Frankenstein?
He's got a Frankenstein one coming out.
That's what it is. That one's on the way. Yeah, he's working on it.
He's so good. And one of the fun interviews, really, really fun interview person. Like, you get a chance to hear him talk about just movies or just anything.
I suppose, yeah. Getting anybody to talk about their passion is interesting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. One of my dad's favorite actors, and interestingly, one of my oldest daughter Bria's favorite actors, and one of their favorite shows. Happy birthday to Monk himself, Tony Shalhoub is 72. Oh,
very cool.
Many of us remember him as Antonio on Wings.
Sure,
I remember as a kid watching bits and pieces of Wings because my aunt Pat loved the show crazy. Loved the show, and I've seen Tony Shalhoub and being like, "Oh, it's so cool that they have an Italian actor on this show and everything. How great that is!" And then realizing a little bit later on, that's not Tony Shalhoub's real accent. He's just that good.
He's just talented.
And he is Italian, but that accent was, just something that he created and everything. He's that good.
Yeah, he's great.
Star Trek. He was also a Star Trek goof. Galaxy Quest.
He was in Galaxy Quest. He was very good in Men in Black.
Yeah, yes. Briefly. Great role in that. Great role in that one. Great actor. Sharon Osbourne is 73.
Oh.
Happy birthday to her. I hope she is with her kids and enjoying the day. Yeah. I'm sure it's got to be a bit melancholy, but
for sure.
Wishing her a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson Brown is 77.
Oh, cool.
Running on Empty, Dr. My Eyes, Somebody's Baby from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Got to get that in there.
It's Dr. My Eyes. That's the one for me, man.
It's a good one. That's a good one. That's one of those artists that I played a lot in my classic rock days.
Sure.
And it took a little while, but now when his songs pop up, I'm like, okay, yeah. Running on Empty is a darn good song. That's a good song. Yeah. And that's going to do it for our birthday and anniversary list, but we appreciate everybody getting us these birthdays and anniversaries.
For sure.
Big time thank you to our friends at El Cafe. Visit them today at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Yeah.
Laura and I will be back after our news, sports, entertainment, and partner break. We're going to talk a little bit about the state of tipping and how many of us have worked in retail and some of that coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Laura and James here with you. Thanks for being here with us.
Hi.
Let's dive into this one, Laura. How much do you think you spend per year on tips that you may not think are warranted or just tips in general?
I don't like the idea of thinking that tips are or are not warranted.
Agreed.
According
to a new report, the average person has paid around $150 in tips that they don't know if they should have tipped or not.
Okay.
Those are situations where you are don't think a tip should be expected, like for a dog groomer or an oil change or something like that. I think famously we've heard a lot of people say this about Subway.
Exactly.
Or something.
We talk the most about the Subway, right? Like where their machine automatically now has a tip question. A lot of places have that now.
When you feel pressured into tipping more than you want, like at a casual counter service restaurant for a ride service or a hair salon or something.
Sure.
Or when you end up tipping for bad service because it's customary. You feel bad for the employee or you don't want to look cheap. $150 across a whole year may seem low, but it's mostly the extra couple bucks here and there, as opposed to huge tips that they nix entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, 65% of people said that they are fed up with tipping. That's up from 60% last year and 53% in 2023.
Right.
62% of people say that they'd rather pay more for food and drinks to provide higher wages for restaurant workers, yep, and eliminate tipping altogether.
Yep.
62% of people.
Yep.
As for the
current... It's crazy. Like, it's crazy that we have to be paying these people's wages. Like, that's why I have such a hard time with this discussion, because you can't talk about whether or not the tip is warranted if your tip is directly the wage for the person bringing you your food, for instance. Like, you can't talk about whether or not it's warranted, because it's literally a matter of whether or not they're going to have enough money for groceries or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As for the current state of tipping, 45% of people say that they are tipping restaurant servers 20% or more, and 23% tip delivery drivers 20% or more.
Yeah.
This conversation, I don't think, and I you hit on it pretty strongly, I think, it's not about so much that we don't want to tip.
No,
or
it's
even
not
don't
that we don't
see the option of, or see the necessity, need for it or something.
Right. We see the unfairness in the way that it's set up, and we're angry that it's falling on us,
yeah,
to fix it.
It doesn't make sense, especially in a world where, okay, just look at this as those of us working hourly jobs or things like that, mm-hmm, in that regard. Retail, what we're doing, any other those kind of jobs.
Yeah.
And it's the same people tipping the same people.
Right.
You know, it's not, so there's no trickle down, effect or anything like
we're
that.
We're keeping our neighbors afloat.
We're doing it for each
other
here.
A lot of times
here,
with a tip.
Whereas the richest of our communities...
Still getting the 10%.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not... I don't... That doesn't add up for me either.
Where
no.
It doesn't.
I'm tipping...
We live in two different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
There are people that are tipping people that can't afford to do it, but they're doing it because they know exactly what that person, that life,
right,
is like.
Right, that's me. Because I've worked so many jobs in retail, so many jobs that had tip. I was a bartender for a long time. I've been a single mom working three jobs, and those tips determined whether or not me, myself, could enjoy my day off. I tip more than I can afford to because I know what it's like to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so broken.
And to your point about working in retail, you are not alone. And I am tying these stories together for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you've never had a job in retail, then okay, well, you're one of the few, because a poll, over a third of Americans have some point worked retail in their life.
Mm-hmm.
More than 1,000 people were asked about 30 different jobs and whether they've worked in each field or not. And here are the top 10 most common jobs on the list. But the overall thing that I wanted to say there was how many of us have worked in retail.
Yeah. What was that number again?
A third of Americans.
Only a third. So there are two-thirds of Americans, potentially two-thirds of our listeners, who have not ever worked in retail. Please listen to the people who have worked in retail about retail, please.
Yeah. There's few jobs out there that I don't know if there's any job out there that if you haven't worked it, you don't know it.
No,
period.
Like, don't assume you know what it's like, because you don't, bro.
I'm not going around. Rocket scientist. What is that?
What, you're just flipping burgers?
I mean, yeah, none of these jobs are easy. There
no,
is no
they're
easy
not.
Jobs.
They're so stressful, too. And having to do it on wages that do not pay the bills makes it so much more grueling. Like, come on, guys, have a heart.
When we see these...
But it is helpful, 62% of people want the structure to change.
I never got into that undercover boss show.
Yeah.
It's reality TV and all that. But the main thing about the show that never made sense to me is, okay, this person is supposed to be doing the jobs and knowing what it's like to be like his coworkers. No, you really want to know what it's like. You got to go home with them,
mm-hmm,
and look in their kitchen, look in their refrigerator, and see that there's not much in
it
there and all this.
It just felt exploitative to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's all about millionaires making themselves feel important and everything.
Right, and it made them look good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for the time that the show was airing, they were good.
Yeah, yeah. So retail workers, 35% of us have worked in retail before, at the very least, or again, a third of Americans. Stay-at-home parents, 22% of us have done that. A tougher job than most anybody will ever realize out there.
I have done both of those things.
Factory worker, 18% there. I've worked in a couple of factories myself. Teacher, 13% with that one. I've done that, but I don't really consider myself a teacher.
I haven't been a teacher, but I worked in a school.
And there you go. I think that counts. I think that's in there, at least under the umbrella of
maybe.
Construction worker, 11% of us have done that. That is the majority of my upbringing, is working in construction.
I would say around here, that number has got to be higher than 11%.
Daycare worker, 8% have done that. Member of the military, 7% have done that. We thank you for your service. Here we go. Chef or cook, 6% have done that one.
Yep. That's the big one for
you've
me.
You've done that at a couple places, right?
I have. I've made a good decade out of being a line cook at various places.
Engineer, 6% of us have been an engineer. And 5% of us have been a computer programmer.
Oh.
So those are that. Get a little bit more to this, but first let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yeah, good morning. I always tip. And usually 20% or more. Sometimes I go more, yes. Even the kid at the at the ballpark, I tipped those guys too.
Oh, good.
Good on you.
I know it's part of their income. Exactly. Part of their income. And maybe, like you said, Laura says, it's probably all their income.
It's a big part of it. I mean, the paycheck is probably paying the bills, but you're paying for all of the things that are not on a bill, you know, with your tip.
It's greatly appreciated, and I appreciate that not only your feedback, sir, but you know, calling in and you doing that. Thank you for that. Thank you. Have a good morning.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you, bud. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
He's great. He's so great. Awesome. He's such a great guy. We have the best listeners of radio. That's, and I say that not just because of you calling it or anything, but that's the kind of heart of this community. That's the kind. I think the overall majority of people, that's the realm that they're, that's the place where they're at.
I tell people often, Wisconsin Rapids is not what you think it is. It's different, guys.
Of the jobs they asked about, coal miner and physicist professor tied for least common.
Well, at 0%. You know, I don't know that I've met either of those other than in a physics class.
I don't think I have either. Huh. I've never thought about that.
Yeah, the only physics professor I've ever met was in my physics class.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, and it wasn't even a physics class. I was just...
I'm focused on the coal miner thing. I never thought about this. I've never met a coal miner.
We're not living in the right place for a coal miner, to be fair.
Yeah, you know, I've always wanted to visit West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Here's another reason for me to do
that. Oh, you know
that.
What? I might have met a coal miner and I didn't realize it. Or maybe a former one. When I was living in D.C. and I was living on a military installation, there are a lot of military folks from West Virginia. I wonder if that just didn't come up.
Yeah. The top jobs we'd want for our kids to pursue are doctor, scientist, and engineer. Coal miner ranked last. Understandable, given the industry.
There
and
are a lot of variables there, yeah.
My mother just threw in a write-in, attorney, just over and over. Oh, and pianist. Throw that in there, too.
Just for good measure.
I don't know. I know when we've talked about parenting, you and I, on air, off air, whatever it is, I think we're on a similar place here where we just want our kids to be happy.
Yeah, you know, I've never really thought about, like, every once in a while I think about, I wonder what my kid's going to do or what they're going to be when they grow up. But I don't really want them to have a specific job. I just want them to be happy.
Yeah. I like the way you put that too, because it really is, like, to me, just the wanting to be happy part. But I don't know if this is where you're going with it or not, but if they did multiple jobs, that may be a healthy thing for them. Might be a good thing. I hadn't thought about it like that, but I look at my youngest and that's kind of where she is. Her older brother and sister have such a path and such a destination, and they got their eyes on the prize and all this stuff. And is just kind of like, she loves working with animals. She likes working with people, and she finds her niches. She finds her places, and she's very happy.
And that's the trick.
She may be the happiest out of all of us. So.
I mean, money is not the key to happiness.
True. Very true. We will take a quick time out, but you can find this complete article at YouGov.org. And the first article I was talking about with tipping, PRNewsWire.com. You can go there for those, everybody, and encourage you to learn more about these topics. And certainly, as we get closer and closer to elections, looking at our local politicians and how they feel about minimum wage and 100%. Things like this.
Look at it.
It's important. It's important.
It is. It's important to everybody. That's something that beyond, you know, political boundaries, we can all agree with,
yes,
right?
Yes, please.
We're thinking about our neighbors, right?
Keep in mind, if you are sick and tired of tipping, think about the individuals that are
sick and tired of having to rely on your tips, mm-hmm, because they don't like it either.
We'll be back with more show coming up. Welcome back, everyone.
I put a spell on you.
Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Because of mine.
Oh, it's the most haunting song of all time. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many, like, you know, Alice Cooper and all these other artists. They're great. They're fine.
Yep.
Nothing touches Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Nope.
Nothing.
Original is awesome.
Oh, gets me. I love this time of year. And we're talking a little Halloween, because Halloween is right around the corner. And rest assured,
all month, it's right around the corner, guys.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. And rest assured that Hershey's won't be banned from selling its Halloween candies. Rejoice, fellow Americans.
Were we worried about this?
I didn't know we were. I didn't know. So last year, a woman in Florida named Cynthia Kelly sued Hershey's for $5 million.
Okay.
Claiming their pumpkin-shaped Reese's peanut butter cups were falsely advertised.
I mean, they are only roughly pumpkin-shaped, but like not $5 million worth of damages.
She said the packaging shows the pumpkins having cool carved designs and faces.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
But in reality, there are no faces, and that bothered her.
Girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, girl. Like, come on.
As I've mentioned many
times. We all knew what you were doing there.
I've been doing this show for 9 years, and we've had, this whole time, we've had listeners in the Florida area, and they laugh along with us on these. But you did not have to tell me this lady is from Florida.
Girl.
I knew. We knew. We knew she was from Florida. She said,
come on.
And that wasn't the only thing. She pointed out that several of the Halloween candies are also less spooky than they appear on the wrapper.
What does that even mean? What does that mean? Listen, I bought spooky pasta yesterday at the grocery store, right? These noodles are shaped roughly like pumpkins and bats, but I'm not going to sue the company for all the broken pieces that look like nothing.
Was she?
Come on.
Did she want to pull one out and be scared by it? I mean,
like, what are we doing?
What was she hoping to have happen here? Well, Cynthia will not be getting $5 million payout.
Girl.
And the candies will not be pulled from stores, from shelves, where they're deceiving Americans.
Good.
A judge just dismissed the lawsuit. She ruled that the plaintiffs, quote, failed to prove any concrete economic injury, and the products were not rendered worthless. In other words, they're still delicious.
Yeah, they still, listen, those pumpkin Reese's are where it's at.
So,
like it's just a little bit bigger. It doesn't have the paper. Like, that's peak Reese's.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
There's a picture they're showing of one of the one brought out of the package,
right?
Here
it looks roughly pumpkin shaped at best.
Yeah,
but, like, nobody thought that face was carved into it.
Now,
why?
So here's one thing about this. When you're a little kid,
I'm so tired.
And yes, you just spoke for all of America. when we're kids and you see the packaging and you get excited and you want to try that, you rip it open and it doesn't look like it, you're a little disappointed.
Right, but
you slowly, as you get to become a teenager and a young adult and so on and so on, you get used to these things.
Expectations become regulated. You become reasonable.
You just start ripping the package open.
Welcome.
Devour. Just give me the sugar. I just want
right,
the sugar.
You knew what you were getting into when you bought that pumpkin-ish shaped Reese's. Oh.
I'm afraid to know how old this woman was.
I don't want to know. I really feel like no matter what the age is, I'm going to be more disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywhere beyond 12.
Yes, yes. Anything above the age of 12, I'm 100% with you on this. Yes, it would be very disappointing.
There's no good answer. Don't do, guys.
I I would be embarrassed if like my a family member
like, this is
or somebody was really, like doing this like that.
Hey, your stupid lawsuit made it to the morning show circuit.
Yeah,
that's embarrassing.
The
I work on the morning show circuit.
You look at all, of course, certainly all the dragging down the legal system and the judicial system and all these things and stuff, and that's a crime right there in itself. Yeah. But the idea that you would even like be. I don't know the right terminology to use here, but to be that bold to actually like even get this going, and then you're an attorney and you see this and you're going to help her with this,
you're like, that's the one.
Well, and whatever she, because I can't imagine that this attorney, this Russo, who was her attorney, that he did this pro bono. So
no, she was going to get paid no matter what.
She's out on this one. She ain't getting it. Like, I can't, man. So you could have just spent.
Girl.
So you could have wasted like what, a buck or two on the candy. Instead, you've wasted thousands, I'm guessing, on an attorney to pursue this for at least 2 years, and for what? For
you knew what you were doing. We saw what you were doing, and so did the judge.
Is this a good story of the day, actually? Like, the judicial system did the right
thing
here.
Low-key, kind
of. Like, it feels like a lot of the times these stories end up with the person actually won something,
you know,
or whatever.
Congratulations to whichever judge, courthouse. Yeah. You did good.
Hey, nice
job. Yeah. We, the people, agree.
Yeah. That's actually might be a good story of the day, actually.
You know what? That gives me hope. Thank you for finding the optimistic spin, James.
I'm trying over here. we love covering world records around here, and by that I mean I like pushing world records on our co-hosts. I think they're interesting.
No, endlessly fascinating.
Yeah. An Australian bodybuilder broke a Guinness World Record that had stood for nearly a decade when she completed 733 pull-ups in an hour.
That is impressive. Although, to be fair, I don't know that I've been able to do a pull-up since my sophomore year, so...
Any local Wisconsin Rapids listeners out there, if you went to Washington Elementary like I did for part of fifth and for sixth grade, you may have seen on their records over there that for a very long time I held the pull-up record. Was I able to accomplish this simply because I weighed 5 pounds? That's not important.
Listen. Part of those 5 pounds were in his arm strength.
Thank you.
Come on.
Great teammate again. Jade Henderson.
I do what I can.
Again, you're working hard over there, too. Jade Henderson, 32, averaged more than 12 pull-ups a minute to break the record. I think my record was 12 pull-ups. I don't know.
Oof.
12 pull-ups a minute, and of 725 that was set by fellow Australian Eve Clark back in 2016. So she broke a fellow Australian's record.
Oh, cool.
Quote, I decided to start training for the pull-up world record because I liked the idea of doing something that nobody else has ever done. I also wanted to see what my mind and body were physically capable of.
Okay.
The athlete said she initially planned to go for 24-hour version of the record, but an injury during training led her to change her plans.
Okay.
Henderson settled on the 1 hour record to prevent any further injuries. Also, quote, I didn't have a set number that I was aiming for, she said. I knew it was going to be tough to beat the previous record of 725, so I just aimed to get a couple more reps than that.
All right.
I wonder if the record holders being in Australia, and I'm not trying to say that every Australian knows each other or something, but I wonder if they talked at all, or if there was a little bit of a rivalry to this or anything like that. I'd like to have some follow-ups.
Yeah, for sure.
The record attempt was ultimately successful with 733 pull-ups completed in an hour. Quote, I was really happy with the result. I gave it everything I had, and in that moment, I don't think that I could have done any better.
Very cool. Congratulations on that. Yeah.
The only other thing I like when they do is tie in like a nonprofit to these record breakings and stuff. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, these are all, and I don't necessarily count the record hunters. You know, we got a couple of people that show up on here that got like 20 world records.
Right.
And that's
just
all
trying
they do
to break
with
them all.
Yeah. I'm not really counting those people. I love these stories like this because regardless of what you think of the record or anything like that, there's a relatability here. Mm-hmm. These are everyday people that are able to accomplish things.
This is just a person who's really good at a thing, and they thought, hey, can I break a world record doing this thing I'm really good at? And then they did it.
I think when we look for inspiration, you don't have to look that far. And stories like this, while they're interesting and cool, and I think they're fun topics, they're also, I think, very inspirational. And I'd like to be able to get better at doing pull-ups. And you don't have to break a world record. You can just go out there and do it.
Yep.
There are so much, I think, to that. Great first hour, Laura. We'll be back with our second hour. We'll have Denise with our Pet of the Week coming up for you right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.